And you may be seated. It's good to have all of you here tonight. This is actually the first year of the 16-year history of our church that we had to go to two services because we've grown so much in the last year. So we have, you know, this service, and then we have one to follow. So if you hit some people coming in as you're going out, you know, we'll try to navigate that this year. We are in the midst of a Sunday morning series called God Has Something For You, looking at the call of God upon people's lives. I believe that God has a plan and purpose for every human being that comes into the world. That's part of why he calls us into a relationship with him. So tonight, I want to just take a few moments and share with you some thoughts about the call of Joseph and Mary. You'll find that story in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 and in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and it's pretty familiar to most of us. 2,000 some years ago, God dispersed the angel Gabriel from heaven, and he sent him to visit two teenagers in a little town in northern Israel called Nazareth. That even right there is a reminder to us that there's no little people and no little places when it comes to God. To everyone in the ancient world, Nazareth would not have been some famous town that people came from. And certainly two teenage kids, Mary probably anywhere from 13, 14, 15 years of age, to Joseph 15, 16, 17 years of age, if they wouldn't have become the parents of the Son of God, everybody in the world except their own family and a few close friends would have never even known who they were. We'll talk more about that at the end. But Gabriel comes to them, and he basically says to both of them, God has chosen you both to be the parents of the Son of God, the Messiah. How cool would that have been? And yet, how maybe shocking that would have been. In fact, in the message of Gabriel to Joseph and Mary, there are two things that he makes sure he says to both of them. One is, don't be afraid. Why is that important? Because when God invites us to something, it's always out of our comfort zone. It's always bigger than us. It's always greater than us. And when we begin to think about it, there's so many details that are outside of our control, and we know that about life, right? That's one of the things that causes people such stress and anxiety and worry in their life is they try to control the things that they can't control. And so God says, I want you to approach me in faith rather than in fear. I want you to trust me, even though you don't know all the details about this, and even though I haven't told you what the future holds for both of you in being the parents of Jesus, because that's the way God works too. When he invites us to something, all he is asking for is, I'm going to just lead you one step at a time. I'm not going to tell you what's coming 5 years from now. I'm not going to tell you yet what's coming 10 years from now. I'm just inviting you to take that first step with me. And we saw even Sunday, the first step of any journey is the hardest step. That's the hardest one to take. And so that's why Gabriel comes and says, don't be afraid. Do what I'm asking you to do. Do what God is inviting you to do. So for Joseph, it was like he had found out that the gal that he was betrothed to, Mary, was pregnant. Now, betrothal in that age, in that culture, is different than engagement today. In that culture, that's why the Bible says that Joseph was thinking about literally divorcing Mary, because you would have to divorce someone that you were betrothed to, unlike today in an engagement situation. You see, in that culture, when two young people were betrothed to each other, even though they didn't live together yet, and the marriage wasn't consummated, they hadn't become intimate yet in any way, they were still legally looked at as being married. It's one of those deals like they were betrothed to one another, and then for about a year, the husband would go away and prepare the home, and then come back and get the bride and take her to be with him after about a year's time, and that's when the marriage would be consummated, if you will. So the Gabriel comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, I know that sounds crazy, but you need to take Mary as your wife because she hasn't been unfaithful to you. The child that is growing inside of her is from the Holy Spirit. He came to her. It was his power that brought all of this about. And so you can take her as your wife. Just don't be intimate with her until after the birth of Jesus. And then when he went to Mary, he basically said, Mary, you have been chosen by God to be the mother of the Son of God, the Messiah. And inside you will start to grow this wonderful baby boy. And so the first message is, don't be afraid. Take this next step. That's all God wanted at that point, for them to come together and basically to be married at that point. But the second message was, unlike all other times where parents usually have both the privilege and the responsibility of naming their children, the angel said, God has already chosen the name of your child. And when he is born, you are to call him Jesus. Gabriel said that both to Joseph and to Mary. And the reason being, because Gabriel said to Joseph, the reason you need to call his name Jesus is because he's going to save his people from their sins. See, that's the whole purpose of why Jesus came. He came to save human beings from our sins. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal separation from God, from everything that is of true value and worthwhile. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope you've invited Jesus into your heart. I hope you know how much he loves you. I mean, one of the most famous verses in all the Bible, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus came. And so they were to call his name Jesus. So that's the announcement. I want to then talk for a moment about what I'm going to call the alignment. If you know me, you know I love alliteration, and if I can make it work, I will. So let's go for a minute from the announcement to the alignment. Why am I saying alignment? Because we've been looking in this series about the call of God, how God calls individuals to something. But every once in a while, God calls a couple or more than one person to something, to partner together, to be a team. And what I want us to see and be encouraged by tonight is that God makes sure that both parties are given clarity and guidance, and they're given the same message. Because God is not a God that's going to say, come to this party and say, okay, you go in that direction, and then going to come to this party and say, you go in a completely opposite direction. God wants to make sure that they are aligned, that they're on the same page. So take encouragement from that if you're here tonight and you're married. As spouses, God's not going to lead the wife to go one direction in their life and the husband to go in another direction. If you're both seeking the Lord and seeking his direction, then you will be on the same page because God is all about alignment. If God is calling you and someone else to partner in something, to come together to, say, be in business together or to do ministry together or to be on the same team together, God will make sure that each of you is getting the same message, so that you can be aligned and work together. That's what God did with Joseph and Mary. He made sure that both parties got the same message. And they were also aligned in this way. Unlike sometimes where God is inviting us to do something on our own, here God is saying, you are going to have each other. You're going to have me. I'm going to be with you. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But you're going to have each other. You're not going to have to go through all this by yourself. Joseph, you will have Mary, and Mary, you will have Joseph. And you will be able to navigate this together. Because the Bible says, two are better than one. You know, if one's down, the other one can pick the other one up. If one falls down, the other one's there to pick the other one. You know, so two are better than one. So there's this announcement, there's this alignment, and then let's look for just a couple seconds at the assurances that they are given. Both of them are given the same assurance. The Lord is with you. When Gabriel comes to Joseph, he says, listen, Jesus is not only going to be named Jesus, but he's going to be designated by this title, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when that little baby that you're holding there in your arms, Joseph, as his father, you know that is God with you. He's with you. When Gabriel comes to Mary, he greets her in this way. He says, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. We've talked about that. How if God is with us, that's really all we need. We don't need anyone or anything else. If God is with us, then we have everything we need to navigate whatever is coming. Because when we step out in faith, as we said on Sunday, God steps in with his palpable presence, with his provision, with his protection, with his power. That's what God does. And so they're given that assurance. The Lord's going to be with you every step of the way. You just trust God and take that first step. You get married. You come together as a couple. The second assurance that they are given, and this is specifically given to Mary when he talks to her about the fact that, oh, and by the way, if you don't think God can do impossible things, your cousin Elizabeth, who's been barren all her life and could not have children, and now she's way past the age of childbearing, she's pregnant right now. In fact, she's 6 months pregnant. And then Gabriel says this to Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Mary, I know you're a virgin. I know you haven't known a man. But guess what? The creator of the universe can do anything. If he made the universe, if he flung all those stars out there in space and created everything that we see and know and hear, then it's not too hard for God to create life. In fact, we know that all life, you and I, are special creations of God. You are of great worth and value to God. He designed you. He made you the way he did, and he made you to know him personally and to have a plan and purpose in mind for you when you came into this world. I hope you're living out that purpose, and I hope you know your God personally, because no one will ever love you or care about you or look after you like your God will. So those are the assurances. And then I want to talk for just a moment about the amazing acceptance by Joseph and Mary of God's will for their life. I mean, let's not forget, these are young people. These are teenagers. And yes, even in that culture many years ago, yeah, they might have had a maturity that maybe many teens don't have today. But still, thinking about what God was inviting them to do, you're going to be the parents of God. Can you imagine? I mean, only when we get to heaven may we have some of our questions answered, like how hard was it to be the parents of God? I don't know about you parents, but I know we look back and we know we made a lot of mistakes with our kids growing up. We had to apologize a lot. Can you imagine how often Joseph and Mary felt like they had to apologize to Jesus? Here's Jesus. He's, you know. And then when they had other kids, can you imagine the sibling rivalry? You know, my brother Jesus never does anything wrong. You know. I mean, the challenges that they had. And yet, at the end of the message from Gabriel, you know what they said? Joseph said, I'll do whatever you ask me to do, Gabriel. I'll take Mary as my wife. I don't know what the future holds, but I'll do it. I'm in. And you know what Mary said? She said yes. She said yes. And again, she didn't know what all that meant, but she trusted God. She had faith rather than fear. Not only is it crazy to think about the challenges that they had ahead of them. I mean, you think about Mary. You gals can especially appreciate this. 9 months pregnant, you're going to make a 90-mile journey on a donkey. It's probably going to take you 9 days because they would say it. You probably are going to get 10 miles every day in that condition. So you're going to go 9 days, 10 miles every day from Nazareth to Bethlehem on a donkey, 9 months pregnant. And then when you get there, it's not like you have this wonderful birthing center to walk into. No, you're going to have your baby, the Son of God, in a stable filled with stinky animals. You're going to have to lay the Son of God in a manger. Not how most parents would, you know, want it to be, right? And then they are informed by the angel, you got to get out of town because Herod feels so threatened that he's going to kill all the newborn male children. Can you imagine being a young parent? Finding out that somebody wants to kill your child and you got to run and you got to live somewhere else for a couple years like they did in Egypt before they ever... I mean, these were the challenges that this young couple faced. And let's not even talk about the fact that we don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us exactly when Joseph died and went off the scene, but we know that Mary was a single mom. And we know that there was that day where she stood at the cross and watched her own son die. Not something that any parent would have to face, right? And yet she said yes. Amazing, isn't it? Sometimes we balk and chafe and resist what God has for us. Like, oh, that's too hard of an ask, God. Think about Joseph and Mary. You know, as a history buff, most of the time as human beings, we romanticize historical stuff, whether it's war or whatever it is. And we do the same with the Christmas story. When you really think about what that young couple had to go through, it's amazing that that young couple said yes to God. But that brings me to my final point, and I know all the children are going, yes. I actually liked having the kids here once a year. But God bless Crystal and all those who work in the children's ministry. No, it's great. It's great. I know. Amen. I want to talk for just a few moments about the application of all this to us in this way. God really zeroed in and said, Jeff, I want you to remind the folks there that night about this, and I've been reminding myself about this as well, is if there's one takeaway of how we can apply the call of Joseph and Mary and what they did as the parents of the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to us today, it would be this. The Bible tells us that the one who does the will of God, just like they did, will be remembered forever. Now think about that. 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years now, after all this, we're still talking about Joseph and Mary. We're still honoring them. We're still remembering what they did. Two teenagers from a little backwater town called Nazareth. How is that possible? Because they did the will of God. Let's compare it to awards or achievements of earth in our day and age. And listen, I'm not dissing these things. I'm not saying that they're of no value at all. But what I am saying is, compared to doing the will of God and being remembered forever, I think you get where I'll come from. Let's just go back 10 years. And since I'm a sports guy, I'll start there. How many of you, don't if you know it, don't say it, but I'm just trying to make a point. How many of you here tonight can remember biggest sporting event in our country's yearly sports calendar every year, Super Bowl? How many of you can remember who won the Super Bowl without looking at your phone 10 years ago? I bet most of you probably can't remember that. That just was 10 years ago. How about the World Series 10 years ago? Can you remember who won the World Series? How about in music, the Grammys, the biggest, award it's given to musicians and vocalists in our country. Can you remember who won the Grammy Awards 10 years ago? I can't. I couldn't name one. How about Oscars? The award given to the great, actors and actresses in our world today. Can you name somebody that won an Oscar just even 10 years ago? So let's go back 50 years. Can you name any of those 50 years ago? So let's go keep going. 1,000 years from now? If we can't remember them in our own lifetime, what do you think it's going to be like in eternity when you roll into thousands of years? Do you think we're going to even care much about all the stuff that, And yet, Joseph and Mary, I guarantee you this, they'll never be forgotten. Throughout eternity, they'll never be forgotten. And they are in the Word of God that is forever settled in heaven. They're always going to be there. God honors those who do His will. And I say that because I want to encourage you tonight. You can run after the things of this world, and you can say, wow, look at this, I achieved this. And again, I'm not saying that they're of no consequence or no value at all. But compared to doing the will of God, there is no comparison. Because 10 million years from now, when we're still in eternity, those who do the will of God will be remembered. I hope, like Joseph and Mary tonight, that you will say yes to whatever God has for you. And that most important in this Christmas season and tomorrow being Christmas, I sure hope you have a little understanding of how much God loves you. He really does. I mean, He left heaven to come to earth, wrapped Himself in humanity, lived amongst us, took everything that life has to give. He knows what it's like to be insulted, mocked, slandered, to have friends and family walk away from Him. Jesus knows what all that's like. He knows what it's like to suffer physically, emotionally, spiritually. Jesus walked this earth as God, the God-man. And yet He loved each of us enough to say, your sin has separated you from Me. And the only way back is for Me to come and offer Myself in your place. Because there's nothing you and I can do to make that happen. There's nothing that you and I can do to bridge the gap that exists between us and God because of our sin. That's why it breaks my heart when I talk to people and they say, well, Pastor Jeff, I hope that when I die, that God will weigh my good works and my bad works, and my good works will outweigh my bad works, and somehow God will let me into heaven. It doesn't work that way, my friends. There's not enough good works that we can do. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith. And that's not even of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. God's done it all. All He asks of us is that we simply believe and trust in what Jesus did. And my friends, when Jesus died on that cross and He was buried, He didn't stay in that grave. He rose 3 days later. And He showed the world in 40 days that He was alive. And that death could not hold Him because He truly was the Son of God. He was everything He claimed to be. If you know my story, that there have been times that God has allowed me to debate atheists and agnostics about the resurrection of Jesus and whatnot. And my friends, they have no answer. They really don't. They have no answer for the resurrection of Jesus. They finally come to a place where intellectually all they say is, I just choose not to believe, but not because God hasn't given me the evidence. That's where they are. I hope that's not where you are. I hope you know God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, and that all you have to do is believe and trust in him, and you will have eternal life. And when you have that relationship with him and you begin to follow him and do his will, I guarantee you this, you will be remembered forever. What you do for God on this earth will last forever, because Joseph and Mary are a prime example of that. Here we are today, 2,000 years after they left, and we're still talking about them. Say yes to God tonight. I'm going to ask Nicole, since my voice is going, and our worship team to come, and I'm going to ask you, would you stand with me and just join me in prayer? And after we pray, I'm going to ask you to turn your candles on, and we're going to sing some songs of worship to end our time in God's house tonight. Father, we thank you for, Lord, bringing us together tonight. I thank you for each and every person here in this room tonight. From the littlest, youngest child all the way up to the oldest adult, God, you love each and every one of us. And God, you have a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. You have something for us, just as you did Joseph and Mary. God, you remind us it wasn't easy. Their life was not easy. Their life was filled with difficulties and struggles and trials and pain. And yet, God, they understand that it wasn't about this life. It was about eternity. It was about making a difference for eternity. And God, that's what you want us to see. That's what you want us to get out of looking at Joseph and Mary tonight. That it's not about living our life the way we want to. It's about living for you and what you have for us, God. Help us, God, tonight to say yes to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.